Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line is Kate Moss, CBE. She's a best-selling and award-winning novelist, feminist activist, and founder and director of the Women's Prizes. In her new book, Feminist History for Every Day of the Year, she shows us how women transformed our world. Tales of magnificent warrior queens, groundbreaking scientists, and political trailblazers sit alongside pioneering explorers and incredible sportswomen. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you. Lovely to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you back with us. And this must have been such a fun book to put together.
Oh, such a joy. I mean, the idea of this book, and it's very much aimed at teenagers and people in their 20s. I mean, although everybody can read it, of course, the idea was simply to say, in these slightly miserable times we're in, let's celebrate some people who did wonderful things. And the point about the book is it's not taking men and boys out of history. It's adding the women and girls in where they always were and making sure that history is all of us, not just some of us. So that was the idea behind the book, and to empower young people to think, you know, that could be me. I could be inventing that amazing thing. I could be climbing that mountain. I could be swimming faster than everybody else. I could be painting the most exquisite piece of art that will speak to people down the generation. So that's the idea behind it, to say, you can be anybody you want. Just look at all these incredible women and girls and see what they did. And then just dream about what you could do in the world.
Oh, definitely. It's a great message. And some really interesting and shocking statistics attached to the book. The fact that women only occupy around 0.5% of recorded history.
Yes, recorded history is the key word there, the word recorded. So the issue is not that women and girls didn't always do things, and also not that they weren't famous, celebrated, and honoured in their day, but the writing of history has often left women out. And that's partly because history as a discipline, as a written discipline, came out of universities and religious institutions, mostly, where women weren't allowed. Mm. So what you therefore have is a tiny number of people, men almost exclusively, writing what they knew and what they thought mattered, which means that a lot of history left women out, even if they were the rulers, even if they were the doctors, even if they were the inventors. So that is the issue, is about changing recorded history to tell the truth. It's not about rewriting history. It's about putting in all the bits that have been left out. And that's why I had so much fun researching it, because, you know, I mean, if anybody listening to this, anybody who is lucky enough to have a house and has this particular machine in it, you know, to discover in the late 19th century in America that a woman called Josephine Cochran clearly was just fed up of clearing up after everybody else. And she went to a shed at the bottom of her garden. And with the immortal words, "I suppose if no one else is going to invent a dishwashing machine, I had better do it myself," the call of all mums everywhere, she invented the dishwasher. And it's basically the same machine that we have today. So that was what was fun, finding the statistics are shocking. There are many women who did incredibly courageous and terrible things just to have the right to be treated equally alongside the men and boys in their lives. But there are also a lot of fun facts. And so far, even though the book came out in September, I have signed a lot of happy Christmas or happy birthday. This seems to be a book that grandparents and uncles and aunts and teachers are buying for the young people in their lives. And that couldn't make me more happy.
Oh, yes. I'm getting it for my goddaughter. It's her birthday in a couple of weeks, so it's perfect.
Perfect. But also, what has been joyous is I've done a lot of, it's different for me. It's my first YA crossover book. So I've done a lot of visits to schools. And what I found really encouraging and very life-affirming, if you like, given all the messages we get all of the time, is that in all of those schools, I get as many hands going up from boys as from girls, and boys coming up to the front of the queue to get their book signed and buying it for their mum or their sister. Mm-hmm. Because the point is that the real F word is not feminism, it's fairness. And every decent bloke in the world, every decent young man gets that too. So what we the book is about all of us who believe in equality, believe in fairness, believe in the fact you should judge someone by what they say and what they do, not what they look like, not the color of the skin, not their faith, all of those things. Everybody gets that. So it's about trying to make the voices that are positive louder than the voices that are divisive and are trying to set people against each other. So I've been very inspired by the young people that I've met up and down the country so far.
Oh, wonderful. And just going back to those early statistics of recorded history, I was thinking that realistically, so much has happened and changed for the better for women only in the last 100 years or so. When you think about women getting the vote, women going to university, women being ordained, all these, you know, big monumental moments that women have been allowed to do what men can do have only happened in the last 100 years or so.
That's so right. And I'm really glad that you pulled that out, because I think at the moment that we're in a spiral of everything is bad news. And there is a lot of terrible, terrible news, no doubt about it. But as you say, in many ways, in most areas, things have improved for some people for the better, not for all people, but for some people for the better. So quite often I just say, just remember that all this is about is saying that girls and women should have the same opportunities and boys and of men. Because when I go to the doctor, I want someone who has skill for being a doctor, aptitude for being a doctor. I don't care if they're a man or a woman. I want the best person. And that might be a woman, it might be a man. You know, who knows? I have no skill to be a doctor. So I would never have wanted to do that, but I would want the right to be allowed to publish my books, which, of course, throughout history, women have been denied access to education and to writing. And in some countries in the world, that has gone backwards, looking at Afghanistan in particular. So that's the point, is that surely we just want the people who can do these things best to be allowed to have a go. And it's good to remember that most things in terms of women's opportunities, life expectancy in many, many more countries than ever before are better than they've been. And that has been achieved by women and girls, all the women and girls in my book, campaigning for those things. Nobody ever just gives you something. You have to be brave enough to speak up and to stand up and to campaign for what you want to make the world a fairer place. And all of the women and girls in my book do that. And there are essays between each of the months. There's a woman for every day of the year, or women, or something significant that happened in women's lives. You know, the very first women's cricket match, for example, that's in there. The very first woman to climb Everest is in there. But also between the months, there are essays. And one of the essays is Boys Can Be Feminists Too. And it's about the boys and men who have been part of this too. Because again, as I say, it's about fairness, and that everybody believing and saying if they believe it, there should be no barriers to what women and girls do any more than there should be barriers to what men and boys do. And that's at the heart of things.
It must have been so difficult to pick the women and girls that you were going to feature in the book. There's obviously some that I've heard of and are very familiar with, and some that I haven't. I assume that was the case for you as well. Did you want to find people that you didn't know?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it was honestly a nightmare. because it's kind of an almanac, you know, one day of the year, and there are 366 days, which is a lovely question that I was asked by a girl in a school just a couple of days ago. We're doing the leap years as well. It's so crazy. There are so many women I wanted in the book, and they all have the same birthday. So I can't put them all on that day. And so then I think, okay, I better do when one of them dies. And then there are loads of people who seem to have died on the same day. But also I wanted to have a range of activities. And what I mean by that is I wanted soldiers. I wanted priests. I wanted writers. I wanted magicians. I wanted police officers. I wanted something from almost any occupation you might have. So any young person will pick it up and go, well, I want to be a dot, dot, dot. And they would find that person in the book. Mm. I also want it to be a range of cultures and ethnicities and periods of history from all over the world. So that, of course, narrows lots of things down. If you were doing just English women or just Irish women or just Scottish women, you'd have a different selection. But when you want a little bit from everywhere, and many people say, I can't believe you haven't put such and such in the book. And I say, but this is the point of the book. This book is the beginning of a conversation. What I want is everybody to pick up that book and go, I can't believe that such and such isn't in it. And then to put that out and say, okay, but I think everybody should know about this woman. Because it's not just me. It's lots of people doing this, trying to put women back into history. And every single person who picks up the book, they should be making their own list and sharing those names with their friends and their teachers and their parents and what have you. And that means that more and more and more and more women's names become familiar to all of us. So my Just Book is just a tiny drop in the ocean. But if it starts a conversation about all the other millions of women who could be in a book like this, then my job is done.
Yes, perfect. So sorry putting you on the spot, but can you pick out a couple of women that you had discovered through researching this book that you featured in the book?
Yes. Well, I would say I am not, you'll be astonished to know, a mountain climber. I do like a good old...
you can do most things though, Kate.
yeah, absolutely. I'm clumsy and, but I like a hike and a walk and I can, but I'm not a mountaineer. But I came across when I was researching this, an extraordinary Japanese woman called Junko Tabei, T-A-B-E-I. And she was the first woman to stand on the top of the world. In other words, she was the first woman to climb Everest. Her story is so inspirational because all she wanted to do was climb mountains. The men in Japan refused to climb with her. They said, we don't want a woman climbing with us. It's bad luck. And said things like, women should be at home with their children. Wow. And even though they were almost all men who had children and somehow didn't feel their presence mattered so much to their own children, I suppose.
And when was this, sorry?
She stood on the top of the world in May 1975. Gosh. So this is very much, in those days. She set up her own women's climbing group. Only women could be in it. They climbed various mountains. And finally, she got her slot to climb Everest. And the reason that her story is so inspirational is not just that she was the first, because it's important to not only think about the first woman. What matters is the opportunity that that creates for the second woman, mm-hmm. 10th woman, the 100th woman. But this is the thing. But they set off in May 1975. And they'd not got so far, and an avalanche buried them all alive. Oh. And this was seen, fortunately, and they managed to get people up there, and people were dug out. Most of the women went back to base camp, but she, Junko Tabei, continued on 10 days later with her Sherpa, and they got to the top of the mountain. Because one of the things that stands out for all the women and girls in this book is resilience. Things don't come easily. They don't always happen first time. The thing that makes these women and girls stand out is that they had resilience. They never gave up. And she did that. And I thought that was an amazing thing. So not just being the first, but that just, days after having been buried in an avalanche, for goodness sake, but then she still refused any sponsorship. She went back to Japan and was now a hero, having been reviled and criticized and all of these things. And it didn't change her priorities. So she continued to make her own climbing equipment. She continued to climb, but then went back time and again to Everest with groups to pick up all the litter that the other climbers left behind. So in other words, her environmental caring for the planet, caring for the mountain, never changed, even when she could have become a superstar. So I'd never heard of her. And I just think that that's the most incredible story. And it felt like an amazing story to include in the book, because most of the women and girls in the book, they're known for one thing, but actually it's all the good they do from becoming famous for that one thing that matters. So another person who's in the book is Dolly Parton. Now, I knew about Dolly Parton. Of course I do. She's an epic award-winning singer, songwriter, extraordinary woman. I knew all her songs. We could all sing them. They're karaoke favourites, aren't they?
Yeah.
But what additional I didn't know about Dolly Parton is that she has something called Dolly's Library, and for years has been funding out of her own pocket, giving free books to children in disadvantaged parts of America. I didn't know about Dolly Parton that in the COVID crisis, she gave more than £1 million to COVID research. So that's, I hope, the other thing about the women in the book. They're not just one thing. They are the sum of their parts, all the amazing contributions they've made beyond being a superstar in one field or another. And that, did help me to choose some of the people in the book. They could have just, sat on their laurels, but they didn't. They did more and more for other people as well. And I was brought up by my wonderful mum, my wonderful dad, with a very old-fashioned, but I think it's rule to live by, try to leave the world in a slightly better state than you find it. And my parents did that all of their life. And the women and girls in this book, that also links them together. They try to make a difference for the better.
Yeah. It must have been really wonderful when you found that out about people, when you were looking into people like Simone Biles, for example, an incredible gymnast, won all these gold medals. And a lot of people might think, well, that's it, which is fair enough. It's quite a legacy
that's
to leave
enough,
behind,
yeah.
even with that. But then researching into them and finding the backstory and realizing that there's much more of an incredible story to tell about them.
Yes, exactly. That was precisely it. And some of my favourite writers, discovering other things that they'd done. People who are complicated because we know things about them now that are challenging. So, for example, Florence Nightingale, who was incredibly important. She, with Mary Seacole, created a way for women to support themselves and earn a living. Before nursing became a profession that women were allowed to do, the only way that a woman could make money would be to publish, provided she wasn't married, because her husband would take the earnings if she was, or be a governess. And these were the only ways. So Florence Nightingale, really important development of nursing. She was also an incredible statistician. She is actually the person who invented the pie chart, of all things. I mean, personally, I could live without a pie chart, to be frank, but I mean, I know it's important in some way or another. I stopped math after O level. But she also, from her own writings, was horribly racist, had terrible views, and they weren't the views of the time. They were extreme.
Wow.
We often do this when we look back. We think everybody in the past agreed with one another. They didn't any more than we did. And people would say, God, have you seen what Florence has said now? She was seen as very extreme in her views. But this is something else that's important about the book. We cannot only include women in history who we like, mm-hmm. or we approve of, or we agree with, because women, like men, contain contradictions, and we put all the horror men in history, and we must be brave enough to put women who've done things that have changed the world, but they've changed the world in a way that we wouldn't like, or they had views that we didn't like, even if they change the world for the better. So that's an important part of the book, because I think today there is a deliberate attempt by certain politicians and leaders to set people against each other and to very much use a tactic that's always worked throughout the whole of history, divide and rule. And sometimes that takes the form of, oh, yes, but you want to admire this person, but look what they said, so we have to cancel them. That's the modern language. We can't do that. We've got to put everybody back in and let their deeds and their words speak for themselves, whether we like them or not. So that's an important thing to say. You've got to let people be complicated. You've got to let people be contradictory, women as well as men.
Yeah. Oh, that's really important. And proof that we are not perfect.
Nobody's perfect. And it's about the systems. It's not about in one individual versus another individual. It's about systems that say that girls matter less than boys, that white people matter more than people of colour. People who have all the abilities, physical abilities, mental abilities, matter more than people who are challenged in one way or another. And that's the point. You know, we know setting people of different faiths against each other, setting men and women against each other, the only people it benefits are people in power.
Yeah.
And we the people, there's more of us. And I still believe, despite everything, I'm still an optimist, I'm still an idealist. I still believe that most people want to live in harmony with the people who live alongside them. They don't want to be fighting on the grounds of faith or race or colour or sex or gender or whatever it is. So I just think that we need to raise our voices louder. We need the good stories to drown out the bad.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's been great to chat with you again. Kate Moss, CBE, thank you very much for being with us. And if listeners want to get a copy of Feminist History for Every Day of the Year, it's available on our website, tre.radio. And I'm definitely getting a copy for my granddaughter. My goodness, my goddaughter. Say it right. Kate, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.